There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is the Cats, John Katsalamidis, end of the program. I write for the Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly. The column is called The Cats Report. I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group, and gosh, I'm busy. Seated with me is one of the city's hottest TV stars. Trisha McCrone, hottest people who happens to be on TV.
Wait, am I hot flashing already? I'm too young.
Oh, my God.
Where's that rim shot we used to have?
I will not. Yeah, where
okay.
is that?
It's in my car, actually. But it's in Alexa's. So anyway, so I have to
onesie.
That once again, it's 2012 has been a wonderful year.
It has been eventful, hasn't it?
No, it's been actually personally kind of sucky, but doing the show with you has been a highlight of my year. I would trade a lot of things about 2012 for sure. I trade a lot of things about the last few years, but 2013 is going to be amazing. But before we ring in 2013,
we're not ready to ring in yet.
In a couple of days.
We're not ringing it in.
We're not. Before we do that in a couple of days, we thought, Katz and I, that it would be kind of fun that we're always interviewing other people. Why not interview each other about the past year?
Enough about them. What about us?
I know.
So stick around. I know we will.
This is Melinda, the First Lady of Magic, and you're listening to Cats with a Dish.
Welcome back. John Katsalamidis here with Trisha McCrone. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. It's just us two today. It's us two today. We're going to wrap the past year, 2012, as we enter 2013. We've had each of us an eventful year in various ways.
Yes.
Haven't we?
Yes, we have.
It's been kind of a fractured year. A lot going on. Many, many stories I've written this year. Many things we've been involved in. I've been to New York a lot this year. Coincidentally, three times in 1 year.
Yeah,
I did travel a lot
yeah.
this year. And, you know, for purposes of writing about Las Vegas, I had to take the show on the road a few times. So that was different about this year. And we keep kicking out the Cats with the Dish broadcast. We've had many, many great guests. And we're going to interview each other.
Yes,
the format
which
here,
I think is kind of fun.
Which Trish is really looking forward to.
And I
have a great deal of
trepidation. You should. No, because here's the thing. I'm kind of, obviously, I'm a little bit more of an open book with my life than perhaps Katz is, so this could be a little bit interesting.
That.
Okay, so what I'm going to, my first question, speaking of it being a big year, I'm going to get you into this nice and easy. I'm going to give you an easy one.
Never hear that one enough.
So out of all the stories that you've done, whether it be with the Katz Report or here on Cats of the Dish, what do you think is the most shocking story of 2012?
The shocking story of 2012, wow.
Or just one. It doesn't have to be the.
You know, I think the most, I think as far as what I've written, I think that the story about, and I wrote two of them, my interviews with Mike Tyson were probably the most remarkable stories I had this year. Getting to know Mike Tyson this year was quite a singularly interesting and compelling moment in my life. I just saw him not long ago over at his charity.
I know. You're with him Friday night.
Friday night at Mike Tyson Cares, and it's something he set up to help underprivileged kids, and he's trying to, you know, establish more of a philanthropic identity in Las Vegas. The whole thing with Mike Tyson was interesting to me, just the way he has been so expressive about what he's doing. He did a one-man show that was at MGM Grand Hollywood Theater back in April. He took it to Broadway. He's taking it on a 36 or 39
It was when I was down in Florida on vacation. I saw that he was coming to one of the theaters.
Yeah, so. And he's been to Australia with a version of it. And I think that just interacting with Mike Tyson and getting to know him was probably the most remarkable thing I had happen this year.
Very good. That's a good answer.
What about you? Let me ask you about your Montana experiences.
Okay, what about that?
I want to ask... you guys, you've been in Montana a lot this year.
Yes.
10 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Total.
Yeah. And currently I'm there right now as people are listening to this.
10 and counting, right?
Yes.
Is this something the Newtons are going to be more? Are you guys going to have more of an identity and affiliation with that region as time goes forward? Do you think?
The Newtons, no. You? No. He's Mr. Las Vegas. He's here.
Yeah. I worry about that.
Me personally?
I want him to be Mr. Las Vegas.
He is going to be Mr. Las
okay.
Vegas. It's true. It's just a little breakaway vacation.
Right word, but...
Yes, no.
He needs to be Mr.
The
House
Newtons
Las Vegas.
Will
he can't be Mr. Kalispell.
He is not. 100% the Newtons are Las Vegas. He will be here. Lauren goes to school here. It is just a little getaway.
Lauren,
now,
your niece.
Myself.
You.
I have spent the most time there of anybody in my family.
Mm-hmm. You've spent more time there than most people who live there.
Yeah, exactly. No, I've spent more time there than Wayne and everybody. But to me, it is. It's a good thing. I'm very lucky that I have a place that I can go to and still be able to work from there.
Mm-hmm.
We've made
mm-hmm.
it work in both
yeah,
of the
we have
fields
done it.
That I
mm-hmm.
do with my PR work and also doing the show.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's just beautiful. And as you know, it's one of those places where people say, Montana, what are you going to do there? It is just a magical place. And with my lupus, I don't do well here in the summer with mm-hmm. the sun. I'm being allergic to the sun. Living in Vegas is not ideal. My health is greatly improved. And it's just kind of a break. We're so busy and we're so crazy here.
Uh-huh.
All the time that it's nice to just kind of I not have to worry about, you know, hair, make, which I know you as a man have to, but hair, makeup, how am I going to get to this party and do that and do that? And it's weird to also kind of be out of the scene. You realize how much of your life is taken up by what's everybody doing and what are you doing?
It's,
and it's almost all encompassing. You don't realize it till you step away from it.
Totally agree with that. Yeah.
That it's a nice little, I come back very refreshed and ready to jump back in.
I think you need to do that too. I'm in Idaho, I guess, at this recording also.
Yes,
same
are.
Type of thing. At Lava Hot Springs, Idaho, Pocatello, Idaho, Boise, Eagle,
yes, you're
Idaho.
You're at your dad's B&B. You're hanging out with interviewing people that are visiting in the hot tub. I remember
right.
getting some calls like, I'm in a hot tub with a guy from New Jersey.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, that's a story.
That is at the Lava Hot Springs Inn. There's a plug for you, Dad.
Our
family business. It's a bed and breakfast up there in Lava. And it is the same thing. And I highly recommend anybody, even if you have a great deal of affection for Las Vegas, it's good to get outside and get into a different pace.
Yes.
Once in a while, it really is important to do that. And I don't know about you, but and even in going to Montana, it takes a while to get into that gear, into the lower gear.
Yeah.
I find that I feel like I'm doing everything faster and I'm more intense than everybody around me for about a day or so.
Yeah. And then you get into it. And then by the end, you're like, I don't have to be there. I don't have to be. It's wonderful. Like, I mean, and I will be honest with you, there was weeks where I don't think I about 6 days where I never left the house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would shower, but never wash my hair. I mean, all of these, which people that know me in Vegas is preposterous because I'm always, you know, whenever I go out socially, I'm fully done.
Yeah.
Up, but I'm
oh,
like,
yeah.
It's
mm-hmm.
really nice. I didn't know how to wear heels when I came back because I literally did not come home. I stayed all summer. I did not come home. So retraining
yeah.
myself to be a Vegas person. Walking
heels.
Yeah. So, but my next question for you is what interview that we did over in 2012. What was the most difficult for you? What did you have the most difficult time with? You didn't really feel like you were connecting. We all have days where we feel a little off. What was the most difficult interview for you?
Oh, my goodness. Let me give that one a spin. I felt...
And don't say this one.
No. You know, I felt a little out of step with the Chippendales guys, James and James.
Yes.
Luckily,
I felt very in step with
I was certainly, there were four of us there, and I felt like you guys had a good thing going. And I was kind of the guy who was more like the maitre d'. It got everybody seated. That was one that I just felt, and they're great guys, and we've interviewed James.
They're both, yeah.
Oh, I don't know, we interviewed J-A-Y James before, did we?
We might have. I don't know.
I think we interviewed the other James before.
Yeah.
But we've been in the presence of the Chips, and I still have a CD, the thrash metal band that he's a part of. But that was one I just felt you were an expert in the on the show. You definitely had a connection with them that I didn't feel.
Yeah, James.
I didn't feel
James with the Y is a friend. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, and I didn't feel the need to necessarily generate it much in terms of what we would like to call input.
But I think that
that one was
when
that
we,
one was one I that
when
stands
we
out.
Do like when we deal, for example, when we deal with things like a reality show or television shows, that's more my gear.
Anything
when we
on
deal
TV.
With things, a
mm-hmm.
lot of things like live music, whether it's Lon Bronson or David Perico or even the musician that did all the music for Zarkana, that's obviously
mm-hmm.
more
Nick Littlemore.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
you're more in your wheelhouse, and I kind mm-hmm. of just maybe throw in a question here or there.
Yeah.
But it's not really, I think that that's the good thing about us having a partnership is that there's certain areas that we both
I don't watch, in fact, Sin City Rules was the first TV show that wasn't a sporting event or like Stephen Colbert, that kind of, you know, I watched those shows and Jon Stewart that I'd watched end to end in a very long time. That wasn't sports or news. Yeah.
See the effects that I have that I'm rubbing off on you. Okay.
What about you? What about you? Is there a guest that you?
Well,
would,
I just see those guys. The musical guys are the, you know, I mean, I would maybe have seen them, but I don't have the same sort of a history and knowledge of it as you do.
Nick was a toughie because he was a phoner, and I had just had a very intense trip back to New York to see Zarkana, so it was all in my head, and I'd talked to those guys.
Yeah.
Not Nick. But that group back in New York, so I was very Zarkana centric.
Yes, so I felt fine to just sit there and let you take the reins. I had a little bit of a, not that I had a hard time, but I had to stay on my toes with the gigolos.
Yeah,
because
that was this year,
wasn't it? Yeah, because I was getting a lot of things were being fired back at me in a personal level, and I was trying to get answers, so I had to do. And a couple of things that were said, I was speechless because I was not sure how to.
It's interesting when you're around those, and they're two dissimilar personality types. We had Stephen and Brace on, and Brace is a lot less. He's just unvarnished. In his conversation. He's very varnished in his physical appearance, as we found out
on the show.
Maybe over-varnished.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I mean, for that, it was actually one of my favorite interviews.
They were interesting.
But it was a lot of times, because it is a show that is on the adult side. So there's been times where we have adult entertainers on the show. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to keep G when you're around our people. And I was trying to do that, and it's hard to find the right words to do
Well, the whole tenor of the show is adult. Everything they're about
is adult.
There's,
so that
there's
was,
nowhere
yeah,
else
was
to
a
go
little
with them.
That was a little hard.
As we
but
remind.
Also, I had a hard time with Wayne Newton because it's very difficult for me. I was interviewing my family. So for me to ask any question, I pretty much know the answer to everything. So it's kind of odd. I feel odd asking something of somebody that I know everything about.
Yeah, I can feel that too. There is a little bit of that. Like you want to generate a natural conversation, but it's a conversation you don't necessarily want the world to listen to either.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like interviewing my mother.
I see him every day of my life almost, you know, so it's kind of that was a little bit difficult. And one of the ones I was surprised about, though, was Brad Garrett, because the first time I was not prepared for him and I really had a hard time with it. Second time I was prepared, and I loved every second of the interview.
Yeah, that second interview. I think both of our interviews with Brad have been very good. And Brad doesn't do very many interviews.
Well, that was because of your relationship with him.
Yeah,
so that was
honestly, and that's, you know, not. It's just because I know him and I feel comfortable around him. I've talked to him a bunch of times. That I've seen him, I think I've told you on Fox 5 when I'm on Channel 5, he has come in to promote his club on live TV on The Moore Show.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like people coming out of offices, going into the studio to see him perform because it is just like his stand-up. It's just like he was in the studio.
Yeah. So the second time I was prepared for it and I loved it. Yeah.
But yeah, I thought you did well in the very first one of those too. In our first year.
Yeah.
You know, even though it was a little unnerving.
Yeah.
But Brad is one of the funniest men.
Yeah, I would have him back anytime. He's become one of my most, at first he was a feared guest, now he's one of my favorite guests.
Yeah.
So now speaking of our guests, if you had to pick, now this could be someone married or single, it's not saying that you actually have, who would be your guest crush? Married or, and now we're not saying that you're really crushing on them, but who would be your, of our guests, who would be your crush?
The noose question. Was Steph on the show this year?
Yes.
I like Steph.
Stephanie
of course,
Sanchez,
she knows that too.
Yes.
Steph and Tara Paulsha.
Tara
of course.
Paulsha,
I like Paula Castleton quite a bit also. They were on together.
Wow, there's a lot.
I'm a really big fan of Melody Sweets. I think she's very cool.
Yes.
And she has a very good CD out.
She's very cool. She's very sultry as well.
Yeah, she's just got a little attitude about her.
Well, you picked
you know?
Three actually very beautiful women, so those are good choices.
Yeah, what about y'all? I know James from Chips.
Yes,
good.
Of course.
But
James,
I gotta say, I mean,
Chippendales.
We bring in these guests, like the guys from the Jersey Boys. You have crushes on all the guys from
New
Jersey.
No, I don't. I only have crushes on, who I think is just a really great guy and a wonderful father, wonderful husband, is Jeff Lebo.
I think
that he is, he would kind of be my Jersey Boys crush. And I think that also, I have to say Jeff Timmons. I love Jeff. I mean, you know, he would be another one of my crushes. But James Vaughn, of course, has to top the list.
Mm-hmm.
That he is... He's and you know and we didn't. I don't know if we had him on this year, but Josh Strickland, another one who's a friend.
Josh is a great guy.
Yeah, it's Star all again.
Peep show.
All of them are off the table for various reasons.
I'll tell you this, and I've said it about Strickland, and I'll say it about James with a Y. Stay on the other team. Stay over there. As a member of my team, we need you over there.
Because we have enough trouble on my team as it is.
We don't need y'all
exactly.
coming into the our playground.
No, well, you know, unfortunately, I wish it was the same. But they're either married or not on. Yeah, so all four of the people that I named are not possibilities. That's why they're just little crushes. What can you do? But
yeah,
yes,
you mentioned Jeff Lebo. He did the fundraiser we went to this year.
Yes, and such a wonderful father and a husband and, you know, and does a lot of charity work and a really talented guy and has been in the cast since the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay, you're up, Katsy. What's the next question?
I want to ask you, Disharito, we haven't talked too much about it. It's kind of been like the elephant in the corner, but your participation in the TV show, are you nervous about this? How much can you talk about it?
Am I nervous
just
about
in general?
It?
This is Sin City Rolls. It airs on Sundays on
I
get nervous.
Yeah,
when
okay.
I
have to be honest with you, after watching the first episode, I'm a little nervous, you know, because not because of anything that I did or said, but because of what other people are going to say about me. And I know that coming from, I would imagine that especially Lana Fuchs, I don't know, perhaps some of the other women, I kind of butt heads with them a little bit in my defense of my friends.
You're on the show as
Alicia's
friend.
Yes, I'm Alicia's best friend. I am not a cast member.
That's the
defined
position.
Yeah, and I don't know how much they'll show. I mean, I shot a lot.
You're in the teaser for one of the you're outside a car.
Yes.
And you're wearing a beautiful turquoise dress.
You look so good. We refer to that as kind of the showdown in the desert.
But you're brandishing an AK-47.
Exactly. You know, as I do. You know
you're
me.
An AR-14.
And I'm wearing heels.
And in your heels.
Once again, in an area where I should not be wearing heels. That's something Alicia have in common. But
In
defense, we were on our way to a nice dinner, so we were dressed up. But
there's no better defense.
Yeah, there you go. But
we weren't just dressed up randomly.
Yes, we had a purpose. But I mean, I have to say, of course, you get a little bit nervous. They have the right to, you know, portray anything they want, and I'm sure that things that are going to be said about me when I am kind of taking on people a little bit is not going to be very flattering. I don't worry about it as much for me as I do. I know I'm a reflection of my family, and I have such respect for my family. And you know, and my father was a judge growing up. And before I left, not that I, you know, we were famous or anything, but before I left my home, every single night my father would say to me, before he passed away when I was 17, actually, he would say, "Just remember who you are."
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if someone's caught drinking of my friends and, you know, and they end up, you know, having to get put away, it's one thing, but chances are that police officer that would have pulled me over, if that would have been the case, thank God it never was, would someday most likely have to appear in front of my father. And so it was one of those things that with privilege comes responsibility. And even though it's not, you know, to me, it is a privilege to be related to Mr. Las Vegas. He is an icon. He's a wonderful man. He's
a
giving man.
And
I mean, and I conduct myself in town in a certain way. Like, for example, I don't go out, you know, like I would in Montana, because the fact that Wayne is such class and presents himself in such a way, if I am
there's
out.
There's a certain protocol that comes with being in that family.
If I am out, I'm not going to be out looking, you know, like I, in my sweatpants out at a show at night. And that's just a reflection of my family, that I remember who you are. I'll never forget that. So that makes me a little bit nervous, that I'm hoping that anything that comes out does not portray a negative reflection to my family. As far as the fact, I will never feel bad about sticking up for a friend. It may be I'm obviously outspoken, and I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's you. I don't care if it's Alicia. I don't care if it's any of my friends. If somebody says something that I hear bad about them, I'm going to jump to their defense, and I would hope that people would do the same for me.
In this context, would you go into it again? And knowing just what you know after, and we've had a couple of episodes air, and the first episode was pretty brutal.
Yes, I've only seen the first episode. It depends how it unfolds. As of right now, I don't know how I'm portrayed. I know what I did, and I don't feel bad. Sometimes I wish I would have held my tongue a little bit, but it's very hard to watch somebody that you care about be attacked and not jump to their defense. I'll never feel bad about that.
I'll tell you what Lana said. I met Lana in person for the first time the other night and talked to her for about 20 minutes. And she told me, I'll tell you what my perception of this whole thing is, but she told me that she apologizes on camera to Alicia for some of the stuff she said in the first episode. Do you know of that happening? And she said it was going to air. She felt like it was going to be on the air. Her apology directly to Alicia.
Well, okay, because this is airing, I think, after a couple of episodes have gone
out. After the second episode.
I think
and she's already on
have,
record
maybe
having said
three
it.
Have aired. So technically, okay, I probably have already been on the show, mm-hmm. but by the time that this airs. There was a sort of an apology, yes, I believe, in episode two, but... The sincerity wasn't there as far as what happens in the future is. It's very easy to just say, oh, you know, I misjudge you. But, mm-hmm. you know, when you're making some pretty big accusations, you have to come through and say what you were wrong about and what you're.
Yeah.
And I think that's what got addressed there. Now, again, I have not seen it, but I'm
she
sure that it
She did say
aired.
She was sorry for some of the specific things she said.
She
about-
did not on that day.
Okay.
So,
this is just her
yeah,
words to me.
So, but well,
I will,
you don't know.
I will say this about her. I believe that she's an actor. I think that she is, in this context, is primarily an actor. I think she's playing a role. I think that maybe when she was talking to me, she was playing a role. And I think her end game is to help create the best TV show possible.
That could be,
and
again, my only...
I think having, everything else is leads to that. And if she has
not,
to say strange things and be weird, it will lead to that.
Having not... I don't know her in any context than when I have been around her when there's cameras.
Huh.
So, and including the opening. I mean, she said hello to me. I said hello to her. Mm-hmm. Every other time, it has been in an official capacity. I've never had a social... I've never seen her other than when there is cameras or is a Sin City Rules event. So I have no... I don't know what she's like in real life. I obviously saw her on... You know, on 2020 and Dr. Phil, when I did my research, when I didn't had no idea who she was when Alicia first mentioned her. So
I didn't either until you guys entered this project.
Yeah,
that
so
is,
I mean, so
God's
that
truth,
kind of thing.
I've
so I can't say I'm going to say I hope it is.
Mm-hmm. She was a different person when she was away from the red carpet than she was when I was on the TV show. The whole different disposition.
Yeah, I felt that with her
individual.
Sister. I mean, I would say when there weren't films, she was a little bit more friendly. She was friendly to me, and as was her sister, which is crazy because, you know, that's just crazy. But the
talk about a sideshow, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, but so I just have to say I don't know. I hope it is because mm-hmm. I would hate to think that somebody would really be that. I'm going to say evil, that you would want to go out
just mean.
And make
I mean,
up lies and destroy somebody
no
if that's what you do with your life. And anything
right.
that comes out of Alicia's mouth or my mouth, I do have to say we are reactionary. Mm-hmm. I would never have been in a little bit of defense mode, attack mode, had it not been that I saw somebody I care about being attacked. And I would have done the same for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know that. I mean, and not saying that I have, but you know when there's been occasions.
Have, and you probably will when I get my own reality show.
Exactly.
And I'm getting
so
the crap
we,
beat out of me by some.
No, but you know, I mean, even in real life, I mean, if I hear people talking about one of our friends, I'm not
no,
one
you
that's
are
gonna
always
hold my tongue.
I mean, we all, yeah. I think that's true of all of us in this particular conversation.
Yeah.
I've always thought that the best reality show would be just to put a camera on my forehead and walk around with
yes.
you for a week.
Absolutely.
And record what happens, because I'll tell you, it's really interesting.
So I'm going to
anyway,
move
your turn.
On to...
Off the show.
I'm going to move... off of Sin City Rules. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you are single, correct, Mr. Katz?
Yes.
Okay.
Chronically
so.
Now,
if you were Santa... What qualities would you look for in a Mrs. Santa?
Tolerance.
Okay.
Patience.
Yes.
The ability to, I would say the ability to be malleable with scheduling and enjoy the city and expect to pull some late nights because I pull a lot of late nights. There's that. I'm not that a sense of humor is important. And
yeah, you have you definitely have a sense of humor that you need to be
thing,
able to go toe-to-toe with you.
Here's the thing about a sense of humor. My grandfather, I'll tell you, the last thing my Greek grandfather ever said to me, the last thing he told me is for me to keep my sense of humor. And the meaning of that is not, I always thought it was, for a long time, I thought it was just like joke around, you know, always be, but it's also to gain a sense of perspective about everything that's around you. Be okay about laughing about life because you never know what it's going to present. And I'm reminded of that this holiday season. I mean, there's a lot of challenges in the world. Be okay. Maintain your footing. And that's what he meant. So that's the most important thing, not just being shecky, you know. It's also
cats,
it's not just that. It's also being okay with, you know, you control what you can and deal with everything as you can and try to do it with a smile on your face. So if there's a Mrs. Claus, are we after?
Yeah, it's after, but that's okay.
That's probably
now
the
he's got time to look because he's done delivering all the presents.
You can get him, you know, like everything else after the holidays, you can get him cheap.
Exactly. including Mrs. Claus. So,
I do have to say,
Katz, that you are, that you do have to have that type of thing. Because as someone who rolls with you quite a lot, in a situation, you cannot be with somebody that cannot stand on their own 2 feet because of the fact that a lot of it, you are working, you're schmoozing, and somebody, I love that word schmooze, somebody has to be able to create their own way because you're not a coddler. You're not one of those people that can stand there and kind of like hold somebody's hand through it. And that's not to say anything
bad. Because I'm so self-centered. Really rarely can see past the end of my own nose.
No, but also the fact that there's a lot of times that you have things that you have to do that do not fit in other people's schedules. So I get that. Okay, so what do I look for?
That's Las Vegas for you.
Yes. What do I look for in a Santa Claus?
Mr. Claus.
I am going to say number one is going to be
an elf.
A non-cheater. An elf. Oh, but I'm fun. That is, we have code names code name
cheater.
X's.
Yes. I'm going to add another one. No toe tag.
Yes, there you go. No elves.
No elves. Must be breathing.
No, that's terrible. Again, sense of humor. And for me, I especially around the holiday seasons, you know, my close friends know that I absolutely hate the holidays. 3 years ago, I lost, in a matter of 6 days, I lost one of my best friends, a brilliant, lovely actress by the name of Brittany Murphy.
Brittany Murphy, beautiful girl.
And she was, her loss struck me, it hit me like a ton of bricks, and spent New Year's Eve of 2009 at her funeral. There was about 20 of us there. And it made me realize just how fragile, 32 years old, you don't expect to lose. And I lost my father when I was very young at 17, so I'm very familiar with loss. But that kind of knocked me off my anchor a little bit. And then little did I know that what would be 10 times worse than that the next morning, the day after Christmas on the 26th, is that my really part of my soul, my sister Mary McCrone, passed away of undiagnosed bladder cancer. And I've been seeing a doctor for 13 months, never did a simple test. So it was, to me, it felt like a murder. And so literally I lost probably one of the three most important women in my life and one of the dearest friends I've had in a matter of 6 days, and both of them being very young. And so to me, it made me so fiercely protective and loyal. And as you know, Katz, to those people that I are in my life, I never hang up the phone without saying I love you. Because God forbid if something happens that you have to know that that person's there. I'm also extremely close to my family, you know, see them pretty much every day. And that's kind of a big, my friends, my now my circle is very, very tight, that it's kind of a difficult world to, I guess, be a part of a little bit. And so a man would have to 100% be understanding of the fact that I come with an entourage of loved ones. that's important.
A whole team,
there
dishy.
Is. So that's important. To get sad, but that's, you know, the story that goes around with it.
Well, what is it?
And you have to be funny because God knows my life's a joke in a lot of ways.
What do you want to? Is there a resolution? Is there one New Year's resolution for you?
You know, I'm just going to say my New Year's resolution is that the people that I love have the best year, and that they, more than for myself, I want, you including, I want everyone to have their wishes and their dreams come true. How about you?
That's a version of that. Do the do's and don't the don'ts. Do the next right thing. That kind of stuff.
Well, I have to say, Katz, it's been another wonderful year sitting behind the mic with you. I have to
say
that.
Yes, and more good things to come for 13. It's been a crazy great year.
And the last thing we have to say is, Happy New Year!
Should all the acquaintance be forgot? For Trisha McCrone, this is Johnny Katzalomitas. Happy New Year. Na, 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 na.